Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for welcoming me to the podcast you talked about just a moment ago. I'm Cody. Hi.
Hi, Cody. You're so welcome for intro and welcome. And now I'm going to introduce and welcome our guest, writer and podcaster, Kyla Scanlon. Hello, Kyla.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We're so thrilled to have you because your focus is on analyzing the economy from more of a human-centric lens, which I find deeply refreshing. And it just so happens that this week we will be talking about the economics. What's going on? The economics.
What's going on economically? Explain it.
Just all in as concise as possible. And before we get to know you a little bit, we're going to celebrate some holidays because today, the day we're recording, Thursday, March 16th, Everything You Do Is Right Day, which is a relief because I thought I did a really bad job starting this show, but I didn't.
No, you did a great job.
Yeah. I did. Everything was right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm lucky because apparently this comes the day after Everything You Think Is Wrong Day, which would have been yesterday. And I'm really glad that we're not recording this yesterday. Was that too confusing? It's fine. Everything I do was right today.
Good. Yeah. It was not confusing. Or if it was confusing, you meant to be confusing.
So. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Friday, March 17th, actual holiday alert, sirens, alert sounds. St. Patrick's Day. Oh. Should I do my Irish accent?
Can you?
I don't know. Let's see. A cultural and religious celebration commemorating the death day of the foremost patron saint of Ireland. Everything I do is right. Everything I do is right.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're not done.
Oh.
Friday, March 17th is also World Sleep Day, a global call to action to organize sleep health awareness activities.
So, you know, do that.
Yeah.
Do that.
Sleep better. Sleep better.
That's a tough day. I think that is not a well-placed holiday, and I'll explain why. Alcohol affects your sleep. And St. Patrick's Day is, you know, a drinking day. It doesn't have to be. Not everybody drinks, but I think a lot of people do. So that's a hard day to start your healthy sleep pattern.
Yeah.
Also, being a Friday, people tend to go out. Just some notes for the people that put this calendar together.
I thought it was the next day.
The
next day, that would make a little more sense. But maybe you can use St. Patrick's Day to get to sleep earlier.
Yeah, if you celebrate St. Patrick's Day starting too early, by noon, you'll be ready to celebrate World Sleep Day.
Right.
Yeah, and that's not a bad...
Get to bed earlier, and
also,
it won't be
it's
good
not world...
sleep because you've been drinking all day, and it'll be the bad kind of sleep. But you'll get up earlier because, again, you've been drinking all night, and then just power through and then go to bed early.
Yeah.
And then everything's fine.
We do have a bonus holiday. I know this is a lot of holidays for... We don't normally do this many, Kyla, but bear with us. Because Thursday, March 16th, is also Lips Appreciation Day. Yes, I said lips. Where would all those lovely teeth we paid a bundle for be without a lovely frame? Do something nice for your lips today. Buy a lip balm. Better yet, kiss somebody. Ruth makes some excellent lip balm. Order some today. This is from Wellcat. They're promoting their Wellcat lip balm.
Oh, that makes sense. Wellcat wants to shill their product. Okay.
So now we know their end game.
Where would all those lovely teeth be without a frame? They'd be in your mouth still. They wouldn't have moved.
Yeah, so you might not
they'd
have lips, but you'd still have them in your mouth.
Yeah, you'd still have skin around it. The lips aren't the only thing there. I'm saying your teeth would be fine without lips, but, you know, get that lip balm, I guess.
You know, if you're going to get a lip balm, you might as well go and get the Thrive Cosmetics lip balm. They are no longer a sponsor for us, as far as I can tell, but I love that lip balm. Mm. And if you tell them I sent you, maybe they will sponsor us again. This
Come
is
back,
the
Thrive.
Real reason.
Yeah.
Come back, Thrive. I meant it when I said I loved your products. Why don't you sponsor us anymore?
You were so excited to get that, too.
I was so excited. Yeah. You know what? I blame you, the listeners, for not using our promo code.
All right. Can she
use
say that?
Use the code Katie sent me. Put in a fake promo code. They'll be like, why are 100 people buying these Thrive
okay, but
cosmetics
also,
with
like,
Katie sent me?
Mm-hmm. Tag our show somehow. Do a social. Tell them the people want Thrive lip balm.
Bully them to sponsor.
I was gonna say, I'm not gonna say what.
bully them into sponsoring us again. Yeah, hey, no. Whatever works in this economy, perfect pivot. Hi, let's talk about the economy. So as listeners of this show know, I'm not a numbers person. I keep trying to pay attention to finance news, but it can be really stressful for me because it's almost like parsing a foreign language. And then a while ago, I guess it was last summer, I read your Vibe session post, and I'm sure you talk about this all the time, but we're going to talk about it a little bit today too. but I was really excited because I finally found somebody who was writing about what I was experiencing in a way that I actually understood. And with this SVB debacle, I have been thinking about it again because it's like something happens and then everybody takes to Twitter and is really upset, angry, questioning, and they're throwing out all of their different ideas of what will definitely happen. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy almost of, so I've been thinking about this for a long time. Where is this recession? Is it actually going to come? Will it? Won't it? Are we in it? So anyway, I'm acknowledging that this is how I found you and how you came to be here, because I found it very refreshing. Is this a come easy to you, or is this like a purpose, like a calling for you? Is it fun for you to make this digestible for us, for the rest of us?
Yeah, no, it's super fun. I think, like, you know, what we're talking about, like, is the recession company coming? Like, what happened with Silicon Valley Bank? A lot of it's really absurd, right? And so I feel like there's a big need to explain it in a way that sort of addresses the absurdity, but also explains it concisely without like these big hot takes of what everything means and how the world's going to end. So that's what I try to do, is like strike that balance between humor and fact. Yeah.
That's really helpful, because I know, like, on our show and our other show, we glibly often refer to how money is fake and it's like a made up thing. And there are all these rules about it and they're all made up. We made up this game with money that runs everything. And that's a little reductive, but there's also, you know, I think some truth to it. And it's helpful, I think, when someone's like, this is all very silly. It's silly stuff.
Yeah.
And sort of is able to explain it in a way that maybe isn't as reductive as saying money's fake and stupid. And that's the end of it.
Yeah, well, I think it's actually interesting because what happened with SVB brought up the whole concept of like, what the heck is money? Like, there's a piece in the Financial Times being like, do we know what a dollar is? You're not wrong. Like, and there's also a huge debate, like, do deposits make loans? Do loans make deposits within the banking system? And so like the idea that money is fake and not real is like true. And we should have more conversations about that, because it's totally valid for people to be like, what is this? Because nobody really, really knows.
Yeah. And then there's just all these layers on top of it that like obfuscate that fact even more with even more made up bullshit. So I just, for all our listeners, expert approved opinion that money is fake.
We're going to start citing you in all of our videos. It's frustrating because what happens in the stock market, we'll say, is not reflective of normal people's lives. What happens with all of these rich people that run our financial systems, what they're doing with money is so beyond the pale, so beyond what most of us can even have time to think about, to learn about, because you're dealing with the very real realities of your day-to-day life and inflation. And how am I going to pay for my utilities? How am I going to pay rent? And meanwhile, people are gambling with, essentially, I mean, just playing games with money that's made up and profiting off of it at other people's expense. Anyway, it can be very hard to unpack for most of us.
It's tough, and it's true. Like, there's, you know, incentives in place to gatekeep some aspects of the financial system because it's more profitable that way. You know, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. And there's like, I don't know, there's so many, there's like a threshold, I feel like, if you get like a certain amount of money and you just find somebody who knows what they're doing, you don't have to work ever again. kind like in a way where it's like, yeah, you have somebody take care of this and then it just makes money. Unless something terrible happens and then it all comes crashing down. But it just seems like, yeah, there are all these sort of like, it's so profit motivated in a way that like that doesn't mean it good.
Right.
Making profit doesn't mean it's good, or that you made it in a good way, or that it has a positive effect. It just means that you personally have more money.
Yeah.
And there's so many incentives to only strive for profit and growth. And it just seems like it's just,
I mean, that's the
worse.
Main incentive, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that there has to always be growth.
Otherwise, it's like a failure.
And that is hard to wrap your mind around. Because it's like, can you just keep growing indefinitely? And yes, at what cost? That's at the cost of, you know, individuals.
Or in this case, this recent case, it's at the cost of apps that make meetings better, right? That's like what all these guys are freaking out about, like their investments in apps for more organizational tools, right? Hello, Liquid fans. If you're like me, you grind everything down until it reaches a liquid state. Cell phones, towels, bricks, milk, everything must be reduced to its juice form. Lucky for me, there's AG1 by Athletic Greens, a liquid form of a multivitamin. I gave AG1 a try because I was sick of grinding all my vitamins into liquid form. And now I take AG1 to celebrate my liquid obsession, and it makes me feel good to know that everything in my stomach sloshes. Always sloshing. I love it. Listen, champ, we don't always have the time to reduce our vitamins to liquids, so if you need to take supplements, it's nice to have an option like AG1. And if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/morenews. That's athleticgreens.com/morenews. Check it out. Slosh your tummy with vitamins. Slosh your vits.
I was put on this earth for two things: wearing sunglasses and trying to do a backflip. Incidentally, I've broken over 400 pairs of sunglasses, but not anymore. That's because I now have Shady Rays. Their high-quality sunglasses are both affordable and durable, so I can attempt all the backflips that I want. Sometimes my glasses fly off my head when I land on the side of a hill or hit a mailbox, but it's fine now. And that's because if you lose your glasses, Shady Rays will send you a second pair for free. And what's better than getting one pair of Shady Rays and not worrying if you break or lose them? Getting two. So go to shadyrays.com/morenews and use code morenews. And for a limited time, when you buy one pair of Shady Rays, you'll get a second pair for free. That's shadyrays.com/morenews. Code more news to get a second pair of Shady Rays free. shadyrays.com/morenews. Code more news. Look cool while flying through the air. So, okay, we are going to talk about Silicon Valley Bank. At this point, I assume that most, if not all, of our listeners have heard the basics, but to start, can you walk us through a little bit about what has been going on?
I mean, there's a lot that's been going on, but SVB was this bank that primarily served tech customers, so startups and venture capitalists, and SVB had made some pretty poor investment decisions. So they had all these securities that were losing a bunch of money because the Federal Reserve began their hiking interest rates path. And SVB was like, well, we don't like really need to hedge. Like, we don't really need to protect against the downside here. Things are going to keep on moving and grooving. And then people got a whiff that SVB was pretty much insolvent and has been since September. And all of a sudden you had venture capitalists screaming on Twitter, all caps tweets, saying, take your money out of here, explode, you know, social media risk via bank run. And then, yeah, SVB got taken over by the government, and the government had to put together a certain sort of package so other banks wouldn't implode. And now they're up and running again, but it was a crazy couple of days. And there's like different exposures that I can talk to. Like, you know, they had a really concentrated customer base with these tech people. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have diversified deposits. They had made terrible investing decisions. And then they were also really exposed to what the Federal Reserve was doing to try and fight inflation. Yeah.
If people hadn't started screaming from the rooftops, would this have had the same spiraling impact?
I don't think so. I mean, they've been insolvent since September. So it's kind of
right.
Like,
right.
It was really social media driven, which is unfortunate. And like one guy even had a tweet where he was like, yeah, me and the buds got in a group chat. And we were like, what if we just caused a bank run? And it's like things like that where you have people who are profit motivated, who are
just
saying,
interesting.
Do you think they will face consequences for their actions?
I hope so. I mean, I wrote about this in my newsletter today, actually, like this concept of the take economy, where like if you have the biggest, loudest opinion, people are going to pay attention to you, yeah. especially if you're rich, which is like what yeah. these VCs are. So I mean, I don't know. Like it will be interesting to see if our like understanding of VC evolves, like how we think about these people that are supposed to be funding our future and the decisions that they make to like just produce apps or like invest in apps that have us have more productive meetings versus like actually good things. Yeah,
it's wild that they see themselves as so important to like the economy at large and society at large, because mm-hmm. like, I mean, I think one of the examples you alluded to was like a Jason Calacanis type of person, a David Sachs, maybe a lot of Elon Musk's weird, like sycophantic friends who pretend to be like concerned about like the working class and like working people. Like they're not mm-hmm. going to get paid. They're not going to get paid. No, you're not going to get your money. That's what you're worried about. And it's so transparent. And you still have all these people believing them and like, just like, yes, give me the likes. Give me like, tell me what to do. And I don't, like you said, like, I hope that this is at least for some people an eye opener that like, they're not actually like, not only are they just very profit motivated and selfish and like, it's all about just like, they have investments that they wanted to get back, even though they probably knew about the cap on insurance and didn't care and took the risk anyway, and then got that risk taken away because they were the loudest, but hoping that just like some people are like, maybe these guys don't care and aren't doing anything actually innovative or interesting. Like, what's the most, like, I can't even think of a thing that any of these guys have done or like invented or innovated that has actually like affected people's lives positively in, I don't even know when.
Yeah. No, I mean, like some of them like used to be founders or whatever, but like the concept and like have made great stuff. And like when we talk about VC, like obviously it's a very big group of people.
Right.
Not everybody falls into the bucket, whatever. But I do think like the concept of like these capital allocators, like having just being powerful because they have a bunch of money and then being able to dictate to a large direction, like what ends up being our future and how we interact mm-hmm. with technology, you know, the AI boom, the crypto boom, like how they fund that sort of stuff and what direction the economy and ultimately our jobs and like how we interact with each other ends up going. Like it's a very powerful position. And I don't think that we've really reflected upon it until this moment where it's like, why can these people be screaming fire in a crowded theater and that be okay? Right. And like, should we bail them out? Like, why didn't they get together, bail out Silicon Valley Bank? Like how all the big banks just bailed out First Republic. Right. So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions about their behavior.
Yeah, they're yelling fire in a crowded theater, and then like they're also getting their ticket refunded and then a free private screening.
Right.
Later.
Yeah.
Right.
And what's interesting, I mean, like I know Twitter was around in 2008, but we obviously are operating in a very different space than we ever have been in the past, and how that fuels and affects everything that's happening. I'm just reiterating what you're saying with different words. But, you know, this is the first, this sharing of information mm-hmm. and contagion of panic is a new thing to add into this already complicated soup of different stuff that's going on all at the same time. Yeah.
And they're also the same people. It's interesting. This is like the only time they freak out about anything. They don't care about anything else. Right. And in fact, they will like resist like doing anything for anybody. In any other like crisis or situation, but it's just, this is the one that like pings them because yeah, it cost them some money, or it didn't actually.
So is, and we'll talk about bailing out and what this bailout means and how that looks, but you know, is this incentivizing? I think maybe we established that it is to continue making risks because the government, you know, because we'll let it happen, we'll fix it.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah, it's not technically a bailout, right? Like,
right. So we should maybe explain what it is.
Right. But like it technically is. So like that's the hard part about this. Because the Treasury is involved, like it does end up, like fiscal authority is there. So it kind of ends up being a bailout. And what I mean by that is like the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, who's in charge of like deposit insurance and things like that. And then the Treasury all got together and they're like, don't worry, everybody, like we're going to step in and we're going to make sure that everybody has liquidity. So everybody has money. And they put together this thing called the Bank Term Funding Program. And so if any of the banks need money, they're like, just come to us and we'll help you. And that's backstopped by the Treasury. And also they lifted the cap of this 250K of deposit. Like, so normally how the FDIC deals with banking is only 250K up to 250K of deposits are insured. But they were like, don't, no, like we'll insure everything. And so there's like two consequences of that. Number one, with the deposit insurance, it's essentially like implicitly infinite now. So mm-hmm. Silicon Valley Bank actually has on their new website, because they're up and running again, they're like, all your money will be insured.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's
wow.
Yeah. And it's wild. Like, it's so irresponsible.
That's so bold. Oh, uh-huh. My God. I didn't know
yeah.
that.
And then with the BTFP, so this Bank Term Funding Program, any of the banks can go there. And, like, the losses that they have on these securities, which there are a lot of losses on these securities, are going to be essentially backstopped by the Federal Reserve. Not 100%. Like, there's still going to be some losses realized by the banks, but it's definitely, like, you know what, we got you, everybody, which is
right awful. It's like negligible to them in a way. It's like, yeah, it's like a little bit, but it's yeah. ultimately fine. That's so wild. They will learn nothing. Oh my God.
Just so we have a sense of the consequences, what would have happened if they didn't say we're gonna guarantee everything, 250,000 is the cap? Like, who would have lost? Would thousands, tens of thousands of people have lost their jobs because of payroll? Like, what? Well, I guess we don't know, but like, what do you see as being the main few consequences?
Yeah. How accurate were the all cash tweets?
So Silicon Valley Bank was funding a lot of different payrolls. So not even like their own customers, but they were doing payroll for a bunch of other companies. And then you just had, you know, billions and billions of dollars tied up into there. So I think there would have been like some pretty extreme consequences. I think the more extreme consequences would have been for like what that means, right? So like the contagion that we're seeing now, we're still seeing contagion with First Republic, another mm-hmm. California bank that is not doing well, just got 30 billion injection.
30 billion, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like we would have, like people would have been like, oh my gosh. And then you would have seen massive bank runs at all these like community banks, I think. Mm-hmm. And that would have been really bad. So the Federal Reserve and the Treasury and the FDIC did what they had to do quickly, like really impressively. But yeah, the contagion would have been pretty stark, I think.
So as far as the contagion, are we out of the woods? Is there going to keep being some spreading happening? Like, what's up here?
That's a good question.
And remember, you can't be wrong today. So anything you say is right.
Mm. I mean, ideally, the contagion is over. But I think like this injection into First Republic, like that was pretty crazy. So the fact mm-hmm. that the big banks went to their competitor and they're like, here's 30 billion, my guy, like no worries anymore. The fact that they did that is like, what's going on with them? Like, why did they feel like they had to backstop a bank? Mm-hmm. And then also Credit Suisse, which is, you know, always causing issues, just got a $50 billion injection from the Swiss government. And so like you have these, and I think like another worrying thing is that, like I was talking about these smaller banks, like these local banks, I think you could, and this is like something, like it's not so much contagion, but consolidation. So people could pull their money from these local community banks and go to like a JP Morgan or go to a Bank of America, which did receive, I think, 15 billion in inflows. And if we see money exit local communities, like not be at local banks, but be at these big behemoths, like what does that mean for how, you know, local businesses are funded? What does that mean for how like, you know, a hairdresser can get a loan. Can they get a loan from one of these big banks? And so I think that's what I'm more worried about, is like not even the contagion that could happen, even though that's concerning, but the consolidation of assets at these behemoths, you know.
That's a really good answer and definitely something to worry about. And I hadn't thought about it like that before.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I have a question that I think is on everyone's mind and we haven't talked about it yet. Just how woke were these banks?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the most important question to ask, honestly. I think that's, you know, pretty silly.
Oh, hot take. It's very silly to say that the Bank is woke.
God. Yeah. And like, if you like look at the board or whatever, it was not diverse. So I think that's, yeah, just not
I think
thing.
Maybe we should read this little quote from the Wall Street Journal op-ed published by Andy Kessler this week. Quote, in its proxy statement, SVB notes that besides 91% of their board being independent and 45% women, they also have one Black, one LGBTQ+, and two veterans. I'm not saying 12 white men would have avoided this mess, but the company may have been distracted by diversity demands. End quote. So that's kind of been wrapped up in this bank being too woke. I'm sorry. If that's the extent of their diversity measures, then they absolutely can't be called woke. There's
also,
so much to be said there about that.
That's so, I didn't read that passage. That is absurd.
You did not?
I know that everyone's complaining about woke banks. And sometimes when a topic like that comes up, my brain shuts off and I just can't engage. Even if it's like silly and just like looking and pointing. Because like, okay, what do you mean? Like, I'm not saying 12 white men would have avoided this mess, but the company may have been distracted by diversity demands. So you are saying that you think that 12 white men would have avoided the mess because they wouldn't have been distracted by diversity demands.
I mean, they certainly don't seem to be too distracted by it.
If you're saying, quote, one Black, whatever, but like one LGBTQ plus and two veterans, those can still be white men.
Yes.
Yeah, are veterans are part of DEI?
Yeah,
now?
Is veteran woke now? Is that what it means? That if you're a veteran, you're woke, or hiring a veteran?
You don't have to have the answers to that. It's a rhetorical question.
Veterans, isn't this? It's just absurd, and I don't spend more time on it. Like, this is why.
No, we don't need to spend any more time on that.
Unless Kyle, if you have any. Woke thoughts.
No, I mean, I think, like, have you ever read Society as a Spectacle? Like,
absolutely not. No.
So it's really good. Like, it was written in the 70s, but he talks a lot about how we live in an illusion of reality versus reality itself. Mm-hmm. And we get so distracted by the image of images. And so I think that's kind of what's happening here, is that there's this underlying goal, for whatever reason, to distract from what's actually going on by focusing on this, like, thing that essentially doesn't matter, to incite rage in one direction. And it's a political tool at the end of the day.
100%. In every sector too. No matter what you're talking about, the economy, military, like whatever it is, just say woke, and then you don't have to talk about the actual problem.
Right.
Woke school lunches, I think, was a topic yesterday.
Oh, good. Oh yeah, but that's not going to solve your
feeding kids
hunger
school
crisis.
Lunch doesn't hunger,
solve child hunger.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
Mm-hmm. Now you know.
Now you know. Okay, you know what? Here's something you're about to know. We're going to take a quick ad break.
Oh, now I know that.
For an advertisement, not from Thrive's Cosmetics.
For a product.
No. For a product.
Get in there, Thrive. Come on. But
other
also
brands that we like. Yeah. These are also good, too. As a Hollywood show business professional, I need to send out a lot of slam poetry cassette tapes. Sometimes I'll send 50, maybe even 60 tapes just to one producer or actor. It's a small business of mine, which is why I use Stamps.com. They give you access to everything you need to ship packages or letters for your small business. All you need is a computer and printer, and they will do the rest. You even get rates you can't find anywhere else, like up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Wow, you deserve to treat your business right. Even if your slam poetry hasn't resulted in anything but a series of restraining orders from all the poets you've recorded yourself physically slamming into with your bike. Anyway, set your business up for success when you get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code MORENEWS for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code MORENEWS. And we are back as promised for even more news. I was refilling my tea, and Jonathan, you had an idea of what we would talk about next, so take it away, Jonathan.
Just before we move on from the SVB stuff, there's been a lot of talk back and forth about how much Trump's rollback of Dodd-Frank regulations impacted what happened. Would this have happened without? And I didn't get, like, I, you know, read some articles, and there is a lot of debate. There was a lot of like, oh, this might have been not as bad, or it might have not impacted it at all. What do you think?
There was just like a clear lack of regulation. Like Silicon Valley Bank was like Silicon. I always say it wrong, but
I like Silicon.
No, I know it's whatever. It's like the same in my head. But anyway, so like they essentially advocated to not be regulated very deeply by the Federal Reserve and like by Basel III and by all these other things. And so they ended up circumnavigating a lot of regulation in general. So I think additional regulation would have helped here, just even to flag this stuff. But also like, you know, their credit rating was super great until all of this happened. So the big question is like, who's really looking at what, and would regulation help if no one's looking at the right thing?
Okay. Right. One thing I read was that even if that specific regulation that was rolled back in 2018 wouldn't have stopped this, there was a general, like, as the Trump presidency went along, just kind of a lack of interest from the Fed in, like, you know, keeping up with these banks and making them do stress tests, even if they weren't required. And it just seemed like kind of a free for all.
Is that also true with Biden as well? Like, has anybody been looking in, or now that those have been rolled back, what could have been done differently, I guess, is
how do you actually prevent something like this from happening beyond taking away Jason Calacanis's Twitter account?
Or at least taking away the all caps lock button.
At least the caps lock, yeah.
The banking system is weird, right? Because like they're essentially designed to make money on our money, which is how more money is made. But it also creates a really strange incentive model for them to like not pay people a lot on their deposits, and then to also like give out a lot of loans or invest in really theoretically non-risky securities, but risky if you don't hedge against them. So I think like maybe it's time to sort of think about the model of banking, and it's like this for-profit model, the best system we could have, like that sort of stuff might be important to address. And like, does the federal government essentially own the banking sector at this point?
Would even something like, I mean, it's not going to be the exact same thing, but like we've talked about even just like basic things like making sure that like you can do like postal banking and stuff like that, where there is a little more attention and oversight and like internal regulation to just ensure that like people's money is taken care of and easily accessible. But
yeah, I mean, these are all changes that I feel it's like seismic shifts in our financial system are feel further away than getting health care, not health insurance.
Yeah.
or child care, anything
that we desperately need. Do you guys have more questions about SVB before we pivot to other things?
I think I still don't quite understand it, so I think we're good.
Yeah, I don't think anybody like totally understands it. There's a lot of like, this shouldn't have happened, but it did sort of conversations. Yeah, I don't know. And it really is bringing up a lot of questions about like the financial landscape, because what also happened with the run-up that we had in the stock market is there was like a lot of little neobanks that popped up and got a lot of funding from the venture capitalists. And like crypto is like this promise to transition away from traditional banking. And I don't know, it just like it brings up more questions than answers right now, for sure. Yeah,
it seems so chaotic, and like a lot of people agree on certain things, but there just seems to be so much debate on the details and like what actually caused it, whether or not like what was done was the right thing to do or helped or they shouldn't have done, like whatever. It just seems like nobody, I mean, like every subject nobody agrees why it happened, what should have happened, and how to fix it, and anything, which I don't know, doesn't seem to bode well for future situations like this.
It's pretty alarming, because as you said, that's not contained just to this story, this topic. That's true across the board about everything from big issues to the tiniest, most inconsequential issue. There is a diversity of opinion, which is the nice way to put it, of and there's never seems to be a consensus. My instinct at first is this is another story where you have to wait and see how things play out as you learn more information.
Yeah. Well, I think there's, especially with like, I think with topics like this too specifically, like Katie, you were talking early on in the episode of just like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's all a foreign language to me. I just don't get it. And some of that is kind of by design. Some of it's just like the nature of the system. And I think with specifically economic stuff, it's it can be difficult to parse because if you don't really know what you're talking about and don't really know the details, you have a kind of idea. You're just watching all these people who say that they know what they're talking about, like disagreeing with each other really aggressively and like making points that make sense. You're like, oh, they said this. Okay, that kind of makes sense. And then someone else is like, well, no, it's not that. It's this. And you're like, oh, that also makes sense. So it's really hard to even like parse if you're just listening to people who do know what they're talking about talk about this.
Yeah, the ECB president, so the European Central Bank, they are their Federal Reserve, she came out today and she was like, nobody knows where rate hikes like are gonna go. So even them who have like all the information theoretically, like all the knowledge, the smartest people in the world, they don't know. So
right. Honestly, like that's a little more comforting that they're at least able, like willing to say that. Like, we don't know.
Very
good luck,
much
everybody,
respect that.
Because we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Instead of like pretending like they know and like, don't worry, it's all under control when it absolutely isn't.
Yeah.
Right, well, that kind of takes the wind out of my sails for my next question.
Oh, God.
Are they going to keep raising rates?
Yeah, it's your question.
We don't know.
No, we don't. And I think like there's so many different threads to pull on with that. Like you could honestly talk for hours about like even just like whiteboard it out. But, you know, what happened is the Federal Reserve was raising rates to fight inflation, which is the most blunt tool in the world. They're essentially taking a hammer to the economy and being like, it'll hit something. And now it hit the banks and they're like, oh, actually, like financial instability is a huge part of raising rates. And we have to make sure that that is stable before we can continue probably on our rate hiking path. But if they don't raise rates next week at their meeting, then will it look like a crisis of confidence? Like, will it be an admission that things are way worse than anybody actually thought? And we still have inflation, right? Like we had a CPI print, which is like a measure of inflation that was pretty hot still. So I think that's like going to be the hard part is like, we still have inflation. The Fed's toolkit to fight that is raising rates. Raising rates could cause further harm to these banks that can't get it together, but they can't not raise rates because of inflation.
So, but that's so silly that like if not raising a rate is the argument against it is like, that will look like we're in crisis.
Oh yeah.
And people will be upset on Twitter and writing their articles about it, and that will feed the feedback loop that makes me want to pull my hair out. I'm not going to because it would hurt, but that is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's wild. And it's a limited tool. Like I've interviewed Mary Daly, who works at, she's the president and CEO of the San Francisco Federal Reserve. And that was like a key thing in our meeting. And she's like, yeah, it's pretty blunt. And of course she said it much more eloquently than that. But I think that's like a big thing is that this monetary policy toolkit, which is primarily used for price stability, so fighting inflation, has all these financial instability consequences. And we don't really have a great answer for that other than the Federal Reserve, like doing an element of quantitative easing. It's not necessarily quantitative easing, so like going into the bond market, but like providing a lot of support to markets through this BTFP program that it also could like serve as countering their rate hikes also. That was like a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I was going to ask, what are other tools than a blunt tool?
Oh, no, I got everything. I understand everything you said.
That could have been employed.
I was going to bring up the BT. I was already going to bring that up. So I'm glad that you got to it.
Is it possible to combat inflation without hoping a bunch of people get fired?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good question.
No, it's so fair. And like that's Employ America, they're a think tank. They have a lot of really good research on this. But yeah, I mean, it's totally possible. So right now we're relying on the monetary policy toolkit to fight inflation, raising rates. And that essentially makes it more expensive to be alive. And then companies are like, dang, it's really expensive to run a company. Better fire these people. And so the Fed is projecting that unemployment will go up and that'll be good for their inflation fighting goals. But we also have the government. So like fiscal policy could step in, whether that be raising taxes, expanding the labor market. So we actually have more labor supply, which is what we need. We don't need people getting fired right now. That would be extremely helpful. And also fighting those inflation goals versus just relying on this pretty indirect transmission mechanism of raising rates. Yeah.
So that's what Arkansas is trying to do by legalizing child labor, is they're just trying to bring down inflation to make kids work in factories again.
Oh.
I see.
Yeah. They're using a tiny hammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a child's leg.
So proportionally, it's just as bad. Mm. Great point, Jonathan.
Yeah.
About the importance of child labor.
I'm more referring to like immigration reform and support for working parents and things.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, the kids.
Potato.
I wasn't suggesting you were pro child labor. I want to make that clear.
I just wanted to clarify.
Smart.
Expert approved. Money is fake and child labor. Maybe.
We're hitting all the topics today. This trend of buy now, pay later loans, this is a pivot away from what we were just talking about. But, you know, it can be appealing to people that don't have that much cash, but also could be very predatory, especially for people of color, other lower income communities. Is it predatory? Is this another predatory bubble about to burst? And, you know. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, right. Like everything should be taken with a grain of salt. But yeah, like people are very over leveraged right now. Like people, this is not necessarily with buy now, pay later, but like people are starting to default on their auto loans. They're not able to pay back their credit cards. And buy now, pay later has enabled a lot of elements of consumerism where people are like, oh, I'm just going to go buy and I'll like pay it off later. And our brains can't compute time that well. So like, we're like, later will never come. But then when it does come, they're still in the same sort of financial situation that they were. So I think it enables a lot of excess spending at a time where people are not able to afford it, right? And it's ultimately very predatory.
I feel like all of that doesn't help inflation either. We're trying to cool down things. Instead, you're giving people permission to just keep spending and accumulate more debt. You just mentioned something that is alarming, but yeah, people not being able to pay off. Is that been... Are we starting to see those kinds of effects in the economy of people not being able to make their payments? She's nodding. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the Federal Reserve, the Liberty Street Economics, which is the New York branch, they do a bunch of research on this. And yeah, they were like, yeah, especially younger consumers are just totally strapped for cash. And also student loan payments are starting back up, right? So I think that we've sort of had this free fall excess, like people were locked inside for so many years with the pandemic. Now we're all running free and still wanting to spend money. There's limits to that, right? And so I think that's the big worry, is that people are spending more than they can. But there's also like a financial nihilism thread that ties through that. So what you all were saying about like, oh, money is this language that I don't really understand. A lot of people take that and they translate that for themselves as like, money is something I will never understand. And it's useless for me to try to understand it. So I'll just live way beyond my means and figure it out eventually. And that's like another thing too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't imagine thinking like that.
I have a
wow, what a fantastical scenario in person you've invented.
You people should get a grip.
I have what might be a really dumb inflation question, but I was reading about inflation and house. I can't remember who the person was who was expressing this viewpoint, but they were like, you can't chase inflation with wage gains. Eventually that catches up with you. So like, inflation is not a big deal if everyone is making more money, right? In theory, but then you can't keep chasing it. Inflation will just keep going up. Is that true? And why is that?
That true?
Yeah, no, it's not a dumb question. It's actually a theory, right? So like, there's the wage price spiral theory, which is, I think, what this person is getting at. So like, if inflation is raging, people are going to go to their company, be like, please pay me more. I can't afford to be alive. And the company is going to be like, okay, sure, I'll pay you more, but I'm also going to raise the prices on the goods that I'm selling or the services that I'm selling. And then the person who just got a pay raise is like, dang, everything is way, way more expensive because you're raising your prices. Like, please pay me more. And so it ends up being this endless loop of a wage price spiral. So you can like have wage gains, but if inflation keeps on rising at the same time because companies are raising prices, that's problematic. Lael Brannard, who used to work at the Fed, she was the vice chair. She proposed like not necessarily a wage price spiral, but a price spiral. Like maybe we shouldn't focus on people actually getting paid more, but focus rather on how companies are responding to that through raising their prices, right? Like how much should they be able to raise their prices? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, your person is right. Like you can't chase after it forever. Like inflation does need to calm down. But yeah.
Would it be something you could do in amidst that? Because I feel like whenever like you're talking about scenario where like, okay, you need to keep paying employees more so that they can live.
Right.
And in order to pay for that, we need to raise prices. And so then that sort of causes a spiral. But also couldn't the people like, couldn't CEOs make less money in order to pay their employees more?
Right.
And then they wouldn't have to raise the prices and then people could live more comfortably? Is that
the
a
people
scenario
up top
that
keep getting richer?
Yeah, wealth disparity has been a really big issue during all of this. Like I've given a couple of presentations sort of like on that topic, and I had two charts. Like I have one chart where it's the top 1% just making bank right now, like just doing so well, but also people have been able, like lower income earners have been able to demand more wage gains. So like inflation has actually enabled a lot of people to ask for pay raises and to get paid more. So I think like that's sort of a good thing, but yeah, you're right. Like we have this other side of the coin where their wealth disparity is just becoming such a big problem. Like, you know, being a billionaire.
It's so much. It's just like, and again, like it's all these guys who like invest in apps to make their meetings faster. And like, so if you only have meetings for a living, then maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Or things like blah, blah, car acquiring Klaxit.
What the fuck did you just say to me?
What?
I
just saw this news story that says blah, blah, car is acquiring Klaxit.
Get the fuck
what
out of here.
What the fuck?
No, what?
I'll put it in the chat.
Blah, blah, car.
This is a lie. You're making a fake website right now to send me.
I'm sure these are both real companies doing really valid stuff.
This isn't an Onion article. No, it's not. Aw, look at all the diversity in this picture of their team. Sorry.
Klaxit is smart. All right.
Good for blah, blah, car
it's
and
an
Klaxit.
Aside. We really don't need to spend 20 minutes reading
the
blah, blah, car.
I'm not going
to
read that. I'm not quite sure what I'm about to say, but at some point it popped into my head. So as we're going around our lives in this vibe session over the last few months, I've been just struck. I recently moved to the mountains thinking, yeah, and I love it, but things are cheaper, but not everybody really feels the pinch of it here because like things are generally cheaper, but especially right now, you know, the price of groceries and different things and how inflation's hitting it. But then I go to Los Angeles a lot because work is there. And I walk around and it's like people, I mean, I have to imagine a lot of people are just spending outside of their means, but it's like they don't feel it. There's just people having these big dinners, you know, at all the restaurants all the time with bottles of $100 wine and all sorts of stuff. And I'm feeling really like there's a disconnect between how people's behaviors people's behaviors in the reality of what's happening. And I don't know if it's just people living outside their means, people that still genuinely can afford it. But I don't know what I'm trying to say, except is they're not helping things. Like, cause it's like, we're going to continue to pay the higher prices is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I think that gets back into, so like LA is sort of a funky place sort of look at consumer spending, but because everybody's trying to like,
Performative, right?
Yeah.
You want people to see you buying the $100 bottle of wine and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but like it gets into the concept of financial nihilism too, where it's like these people, because like, there's been a lot of like research about this, like it's like, how are people spending so much money when things are so expensive? And like, it's credit cards. Like they will have like 10 plus credit cards where they're just taking out loan after loan after loan and they'll pay it back one day maybe or declare bankruptcy. So it's like things like where you have an over leveraged consumer.
But it is wild to me. Just that disconnect. And financial nihilism, that's a good term for me to keep in my mind in my back pocket to pinpoint what it is. just a priority? Is it been, you know, we live in a world and we're marketed to on all these social media platforms and in our lives, and it's become expected that you have these things that should be luxuries, things that should be a treat. Not trying to moralize here. It's just, yeah, this is a new era that we live in now where people just spend like everyone's a millionaire.
Yeah. And we used to, like, I mean, this has obviously happened in the past 150 years or so, but like pre-industrial revolution, like there wasn't a big trend of like spending to consume, like spending to have, like you spent to subside, like you spent to.
Yeah.
But now it's like we have to have shiny little trinkets all the time, which is like nice. Like I like shiny little trinkets
too. Me too.
But yeah,
we like, love gizmos here.
Yeah. And like there's like a whole, you know, other thread though on like the consequences for the planet of how we,
yes,
like our shiny little things, and the spending patterns that those create.
Absolutely.
Like, and we're incentivized to spend because consumer spending is 70% of GDP, which is how we measure the economy. So there's a huge incentive to keep people out there spending money. So the, like, circling back to the very beginning, mm-hmm, of our conversation, so we can grow and so we can, mm-hmm, profit. When really, like, we should probably sit back and be like, do we need to just chill? Like, mm-hmm,
yeah. So. Right, yeah. That's never on the table of, mm-hmm, like, it doesn't need to be this fast all the, mm-hmm, time and growing at this rate. And what if we calmed down and, mm-hmm, just sort of, like, figured out how to provide for everybody,
yeah,
in a comfortable way? So that then everybody maybe can get a shiny trinket every once in a while. Like, that's kind of the ideal, right?
Yeah. I do need to interject that, obviously, when we're talking about this, we don't mean, in terms of like podcast promo codes, those are there to help you, mm-hmm, combat the, mm-hmm, effects of inflation. So, you know, just, you know, you have to be smart about it, guys. Mm-hmm.
There's shiny trinkets and there's
there's
practical good trinkets that everybody,
like, from
needs.
Thrive
You're
Cosmetics.
Buying stamps anyway. You know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you need vitamins, mm-hmm, so
I guess
I'm told.
We're told.
Anyway, sorry, I just had to make sure everyone was clear what we're saying here.
Mm.
Our promo code's still good. Do you guys have any more questions for Kyla while we have her?
Topics? I'm curious if there's like, is there like a policy or some like move that you really think needs to happen that like not solve everything, but like, is there something that like you're really like you're most passionate about? Like we just need to do this one thing and it would help in certain ways or anything like that.
I mean, labor market reform, I think would be awesome. Like rethinking that. So, you know, immigration reform, support for working parents, support for people with disabilities, all of those things would go in a really long way. And like, mm-hmm, creating a better working environment, probably, a more happy worker, and then also helping us fight inflation.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting how it's all interconnected?
Mm. Yeah, I know it is. Like,
you make people comfortable and happy, and then maybe they'll be more productive, actually, and
maybe they'll be more productive
because everyone will be healthier and happier.
I have a great idea. Maybe it's a terrible idea. What if, because we know there's going to be more bank bailouts or technical bailouts.
Oh, yeah, till the end of time. Yeah, yeah.
So why don't we match those? Like, okay, we can keep doing those. We'll keep bailing you out, banks, but then we get an equal, you know, student debt forgiveness program or child tax program. Mm. Like, oh, okay, so you need this $200 billion right now. That's totally fine. But now these five programs that have been stalled up for a decade.
We don't do handouts, Jonathan.
No. And then the banks have to pay for them. No, that won't work, will it? They won't do it.
They got it.
They don't have that money. Do they, though? Do they?
It would be good. I think like an element of those, this controversial, but an element of those profits should be designated towards social services, because I don't know why they have to be so profitable, you know.
Yeah,
not controversial around here.
Not. I was like, yeah, you could take it as far as you want to here. This is a safe space for that kind of talk, not for the other kind of
maybe
talk.
Yeah, maybe stop socializing all the losses and privatizing all the profits.
This
has been really interesting, and
I completely understand everything now, so
yeah, I feel like an expert. I'm so glad that me 6 or 7 months ago was like, we should get this gal on the show. And then a bunch of terrible shit happened last week. But you were here, so it was like, wow, what a get.
Thank goodness.
It could have just been an hour of us asking you about DeSantis's pudding fingers.
The three, right?
Yeah, three. Yeah,
three. Oh, so you're up on the latest.
Okay, so what we
pudding run.
So what that just suggests to me is that we need to get you back, but to talk about things outside of just financial stuff.
Oh yeah, yikes! I like the Fed. I get called a Fed for a reason, so I'm happy. To
okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, so this is the point of the show where we ask you to promote your stuff, your
pluggables,
your pluggables, your things you want to direct people to.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a newsletter at kyla.substack.com. I have a YouTube channel under my name, Kyla Scanlon, TikTok at Kyla Scan, Instagram at Kyla Scan, Twitter at Kyla Scan. And then I have a podcast called Let's Appreciate. And then I work with various news outlets as well. So Bloomberg Opinion, some stuff with FT, New York Mag. So yeah.
Yeah, I really highly recommend you check out her stuff. Highly digestible, entertaining approach to dissecting very complicated topics. Also, you throw in some poetry and like Bukowski and stuff, and love that. I'm like, okay, yeah. Now I understand this like on an emotional level.
Yes, I love that kind of stuff.
Okay, that does it for us this week. We'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. And what am I forgetting?
What are you forgetting?
Let's see. Oh, right. We love you very much.
Much.